Right, hello and welcome to the 27th Manx Footy Pod of the season. Today, myself and Disco.
Hi, everyone.
Are joined by Governors Athletic Geo Tony Sewell and Matty Molesworth to discuss athletic season, including Sunday's Hospital Cup match with St George's. Plus, we've got a reaction from brand manager Will Smith after the weekend's Woods Cup win. Right, guys, welcome to Podcast Towers. Thanks for coming in. Welcome,
right.
Tony. Welcome, Matty. Thanks.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Is it what you expected? You know, every time we get someone in, they're like, well, actually, it's a bit dingy.
Bit of a letdown.
It's bigger. When you keep talking about a broom cupboard, I imagined half the size of this and you're all squashed up together. But no, it's quite good, this.
I'd say, Tony, you're in Podcast Towers 2. Last week, we talked Matty Woods back down to the original broom cupboard.
We went retro again, didn't we?
Yeah, which is about a third of the size of this.
Yeah. Bit of a squeeze.
So. Right. Yeah, so it's a bit of a squeeze for four of us, so we're back upstairs right. Today.
Is that because we have Matty with us?
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, you need a space.
Well, I suppose we should start off by looking ahead to it's a big weekend for both of your teams. So you've got Grand Slam chasing St George's, Tony, in the Aussie Cup on Sunday, and of course you've got them in the Junior Cup on Saturday as well, Matty.
That's right, yeah.
What's the mood in the camp, Tony? You know, the boys looking forward to it?
I think a couple of bottle in it, to be honest. So these injuries have suddenly occurred, you know, from nowhere. I mean, they haven't even trained, you know. But no, I mean, we're looking forward to it. Obviously, I mean, we don't expect anything out of the games. That's obvious, you know. But at least we're putting the club out there. We're not, you know, chucking the game in like a couple of teams have done this season. And we'll do the best we can. That's all you can do. Obviously, they're an excellent, excellent quality team. Their fitness, their strength throughout the whole of the team. So there's no weaknesses. You've just got to go in there and just keep it down as best you can, basically.
We can take a bit of, we'll look for some positives. I was at when the Governors played Peel in the first FA Cup tie, went 1-0 up, and the goal that nearly broke our Twitter account, was, because I think it ended up 9-1, to be fair, but a good game for 20 minutes, half an hour.
Yeah, well, I wasn't actually at the club then, but I was... I went down to watch, and when he curled that free kick in, I thought, oh, you know, what's going on here? And then I think Peel, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think Peel thought then, blimey, now we better start playing. And then once they started, they were awesome, weren't they, once they got down. But you was there, obviously, Matty, that day, wasn't you?
Yeah, I was down to watch. It was good first half an hour, definitely,
I think the narrow pitch, and direct, because obviously you were at the bottom of the Nobles Park.
Cabbage patch.
That might have helped.
I think it did definitely help the bubble as well, just makes it hard to play on. But
it was
good for half an hour, and then it just fell apart. For half an hour, it was alright.
Well, you mentioned, touched on the fitness. We had a stat this week, didn't we, Dave?
Frank Jones,
Frank Jones, not to worry you guys. Frank Jones, in the 93 minutes, which was the normal 93 minutes, as opposed to the extra time as well, in the FA Cup final, ran 7.5 miles. Box to box midfielder, indeed. So, you know, as you say.
We've got a guy called Tom Chamberlain, and he does that. Every half.
Is that your goalkeeper?
Sometimes it is.
That's just picking the ball out of the net.
Well, I mean, have you managed to get down and see Geordie's play? I'm obviously busy.
Yeah, I've seen them a couple of times. I went down and watched them when they played Athletic. It was it 2-1 in the end? It was
semi-final, no, 5-1. I think it was
2-1 till quite late, wasn't it?
It was 0-0, and then there was a bit of a late.
That's right, it was 0-0 half-time, wasn't it? It was close, and I thought, blooming hell, what's everyone raving about? Like, they're doing well here, they're holding their own, and they didn't look like they were struggling at all, Athletic.
No.
And then second half, as you know, the fitness, and then they focus on your weak points, obviously, don't they? They suss you out and then they go for it second half. And then, as you say, towards the end, if they'd have kept playing, they'd have kept banging them in for fun, wouldn't they? But obviously, they're a brilliant side.
Did you use it as a scouting trip as well to see if you can lure any of the Geordie's players to
the I pretty knew we wouldn't be able to stop them, but it's interesting to go down there and have a look like.
And Matty, obviously, yours perhaps is not the impossible task. Well, not, I'm saying impossible, you know, the massive task that Tony has in his hand, but it's still going to be a tough task on Saturday as well.
Yeah, definitely it is, yeah. I think we should be all right, though. We'll go out and try and play, which is what we always try and do. But, like I say, our combi, we've only had 3 games pretty much since November.
Wow.
So, trying to keep everyone interested has been a nightmare. So, fitness-wise, we're not going to be there, but we'll go out and give it a go, like. We've got a squad out, So
that's the main thing.
Looking forward to it. Yeah.
You touched on it before, you know, Michael, it would be interesting to talk about this. Michael decided quite quickly, we believe, after the draw was made of the first round, to not to field the team. Now,
yeah.
Personally, we were talking about it, we think, well, that's not really
about the spirit of the game.
No, not at all. I mean, I'm not here to slag other clubs off, obviously, but from my own point of view in our club, we would never do that. You know, we've got two teams. We put half the combi in with the first if we have to. We've had to do that a lot this season anyway, because we just haven't had, you know, the first team players there regular. So, oh yeah, we would always get the game on. I think all clubs should always at least make the effort. If you get thrashed 20-30 nil, at least you've turned out and you've given it a go. I mean, chucking the white flag in is even worse than getting thrashed, I think.
And we have to say, it wasn't just Michael before Castown did it in the hospital couple of weeks ago. And Castown top ended division two, weren't they?
Yeah, that was a surprise, that one. I mean, you go back to it, I mean, you could use it as a positive experience, can't you? I mean, you say it's a learning curve, but you can look at how Geordies do things, how everything is, and use it going forward, can't you?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. You can't help but learn off them, you know.
That's it. You see how far you are off, aren't you?
Yeah, miles. Off island, that far. But yeah, you see, I mean, you can just, I personally think that it's nice to be able to say you're playing with, you know, the triple crown holders that win everything every year, and just to be on the same pitch as them, I think should be an honour for the players, you know, even if they can't keep up with them and they're getting murdered by a winger or whatever, at least you've gone out there, at least you've showed face and you've not bottled it.
And Matty, you said you're going to send the team out to play as normal. Tony, is it going to be a case of you're going to maybe pack the midfield and frustrate them for a bit and then try and hit them on the break?
Well, or? We're not going to play four up front. No, we'll just try and keep it as compact as we possibly can. I mean, we had a game in midweek against Foxdale, and we had half the team was combi, half was first, and they absolutely slaughtered us, to be honest. I mean, first 15 minutes we was in the game, and it was quite close, but then after that they just took over. You know, when you got like Azar up front for them, he's absolutely quality. He's as good as Glover, I think. He's good. You know, when you got players like him against defenders that aren't so good, you know, that's when teams start slaughtering you, and you know, that's what they did. So all we can do is just keep it as tight as we possibly can and put the effort in, and hope some of them don't just, you know, give up and just keep battling.
I think that's the main thing, isn't it? Just make sure they keep them going.
You mentioned it, the first team season ended on a bit of a sour note, but you have to look back at it as a whole. It's been hugely positive. The last two seasons finished with 1 point in each. This time, is it 15 points this year? That's a huge, massive improvement, isn't it?
Yeah, we haven't had that many new players, really, have we? I would say the biggest one that we've had has made a difference is Peter Callow, because he is a good quality player. But other than that, we've had a couple of other lads, but nobody that really stands out as such, do they?
No.
So it's more or less the same. I think we've just been possibly a bit more organised, a bit more, shall we say, stricter, that if they don't make an effort to train, they're not going to be picked, which has upset a few because they've kind of left and what have you. But I think also, especially the first team, I think we're playing more as a team now, whereas we're relying on Thurby up front to get all the goals for us. And this year he's got, I think he's got three less than he got last season, which isn't far off. We've had other players scoring the goals, and I think we've only got 1 or 2 points less without Furby playing than when he's played. So it kind of gives you that impression that as a team we're trying to get more of a team involvement rather than just relying on Furby to get all the goals.
I think having the weight off our shoulders of having to win a game, that's helped us.
The psychological boost.
People don't have to worry about, we haven't got any points yet. That's done with, so that's must have an effect on some of the players.
And you said you've struggled at times, you know, with your first team, and you've had to mix in with the combi, but this must be, the positive effect must have rubbed off on the combi as well. You must be, have you enjoyed a good season with them as well?
Yeah, combi's been doing really well. Like I say, it's just a bit, the last 5 months have been a bit rubbish because there's been such a long
postponement.
And keeping people interested has been difficult over that time. But there's definitely been at least three or four players in there that have actually cemented themselves in the first team. At the start of this year, they look like rubbish combi players. But now they've come on leaps and bounds, haven't they? Which is really good to see.
Fantastic. Great progression.
So he's trying to have the same style of play in both teams? Is it filtered down through the club?
I think it kind of depends who we've got available, You know, we're not really, sometimes, you know, we're struggling for two centre-halves, so we'll just kind of work around as best we can. But I mean, in my first team, I tend to, sometimes I'll play a back three, back five, mix it up. I think you do the same as well, Matthew, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Do the best with what you've go out and make depends,
yeah.
That.
It varies every week, like. Yeah. So I don't think I've ever put the same team out twice. So.
No, wow.
I haven't either.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it must be at least 4 or 5 changes every week.
Yeah.
So it just changes every week.
But that's something we always say, but we always say with St George's, the consistency is probably one of the key to their success. Mm. If you look, I know they struggled with injuries at the start of this campaign, but nine, you know, most of the time, 7 or 8 or even 9 of that players have played the week before. That's obviously what every club's searching for, isn't it? That consistency of 11, and you know your system you're going to play. You know, you know each other's games, then, don't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I suppose we're looking ahead. What's the aim for next season? You've had this great season. It's going to be acted as a springboard.
We hope so. I mean, we haven't heard of any players that are, you know, looking to leave. Even Peter Callow, I think he'll stay. I think he enjoys it at the club, and he likes it there.
Ferby has to, because he owes so much subs.
Ferby, we're trying to get rid of Ferby, but we just can't get rid of him. Everyone keeps saying he's a brilliant scorer now. No one will take him off.
Anyone wants to pay his subs, he can.
We keep trying, but there you go.
Driving back down to Malou.
So we're hoping to keep more or less what we've got now. Hopefully we'll get some new players join us of a better quality, especially for the first team, so that we'll have a stronger first team, which enhances the combi with the other players that drop down.
Yeah.
That's the plan. I'm a bit out of the loop now with a lot of the players because of my age, so it's reliant really on the younger lads and the people who, you know, knock about with the kids to get their mates coming down and that kind of thing. But obviously you've got social media now, you've got Facebook, Twitter, so we'll be doing things to try and put things out there near the season. I mean, we've got lots of things to encourage people to come. The club's getting better. I would say cheapest subs on the island.
It's one off,
Because they pay low subs, and then if they play, they pay a fiver on the day.
Right, yeah, right.
So obviously, if they don't play, they're not paying that fiver. They're saving money as well. So, so that's good of it. We've got new kit sponsors, another two,
new
haven't
kits,
we?
Yeah, we've got Friars, they're sponsoring the kit.
Right.
And Piri Piri are sponsoring us again.
Right, great stuff.
So,
both food outlets.
Tells its own story. So, you know, there's a lot of positives for the club to want people. I mean, the kind of people I'm looking at are players that are either getting on in a first division team or in the Prem that want to, you know, still be actively playing every week instead of being a sub. That's the kind of player I'm after.
Experience in it, just need a cool head, because that's definitely where we've got.
I mean, it's only an example. I know we'd never get him, but someone like, if you like, Johnny Myers, who's absolutely quality, but obviously he's not going to be in that Geordie's team forever. But that kind of a player to step down, who wants to be like a figurehead in a team and get us launched up there and get some good players in and push the team. I'm sure there's people out there that will probably want to do it, and I'm sure there's players out there that... you know, feel where they are, they might not be happy, and they'll get a bit more limelight with us and help push the club on, which will look good for them as well. So,
Oh, we had the D&D boys in a couple of, I think they were a point ahead of you at the moment, on they've got a couple of games in hand.
That's right.
But they said that, look, each season is their points total, they know that's an improvement. They don't necessarily look on where they're finishing in the league. It's if they've bettered the season before's points. So, is that something you guys are.
Yeah, I mean, we go for points rather than where we end up, because you could end up with 5-6 teams that really go rubbish and end up at the bottom of the league. And you think you've done well, but you haven't, because you haven't won as many games.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've finished 3 from bottom, and we've always been bottom, as I say, with 1 point. 15 points, is it? So yeah, we've done well. And yeah, just keep hoping to push on.
Great stuff.
We've talked about it a lot on this podcast, but would you guys be in favour of the free league thing? Because
No. No, you're going to be playing the same team. 5-6 5 times a season. It doesn't make any sense. Plus, I think in all the leagues, you're always going to have, no matter how many leagues you have, you're going to have someone that's weak at the bottom and someone that's really strong at the top, and you're going to have the middle ground. It's no different to normal football. And I think just by having the two leagues with lots of teams in them, I think it's better. Okay, you might be playing a real good team and know you're going to get hammered, but as we said earlier, it's a good experience for the players to play against them better players.
Yeah.
So it does them good.
Well, fair enough. Because I was looking at the league table, I think there's yourselves, Douglaston District, and then there's a big gap to Rycobin, isn't there? So it was very compact, that bottom four.
That's right,
Maybe you put Michael have been cast adrift a bit, but Malou, yourselves, D&D, all. And it's an interesting point, because them are the games that are going to be the closest ones.
Yeah,
that's right, yeah.
So should we move on to the next question?
Why not? It's that time of your favourite time of the week, Dave.
Well, yeah, we'll have the chance to take a question later on.
Of course.
You guys have been immensely popular on Twitter. That's that, isn't it? Paul Callum has tweeted in, as a new club, did you guys find player recruitment difficult? And do you have a plan on how to target new players each year?
Do you want to go for that? Because as a new club, you were there from the start.
No, I don't think we did find it difficult to get new players in, to be fair. I think we've got loads signed on. I think a lot of them to start with hadn't played for ages and they weren't that great. But definitely this year, I'd say some better players like Pete coming in. Yeah. And a few others, Bella as well, decent
Bella's
player.
Good,
yeah, them coming in has made a big difference. But we've got plenty of people. Even at the minute now, we've at training, we've seen four or five new young lads start turning up, like 16-year-olds, which is good for it.
And
they're coming down. Yeah,
yeah, and they're coming regular and looking to sign on for next season.
Yeah,
they?
Great so, stuff. But I don't see there's not been a problem for us really.
I mean, the numbers at the club are really, really big numbers, but there's quite a few players that aren't, if you like, up to playing the combi level. Yeah. If you like, they come down and mix with the lads and all the rest of it. But the numbers are there, aren't they? We've got brilliant numbers.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think there's a bit of a myth out there about all the business with Malou, because obviously I was at Malou at the time about. They raided their combi and that's why they crashed and folded. There was only about four, was there? Something
not even
like
that.
Three or four,
not even
you
that.
Know.
I think
so
Paul Rose took more.
It's not as if we, you know, the club made them suffer. We took three or four leave clubs every season.
There's about three or four of them that weren't even getting played either. So
right.
They weren't even players. They weren't even combi thing. But we've got loads of players and a lot of them aren't even signed on.
I remember talking to Carl at the time when obviously he was one of the masterminds behind the whole thing, and he was saying, well, if you look at where we're based, it's a big catchment area. There's a lot of loads of estates up there. Onken is separate, really.
Yeah.
You've still got all the estates around there. So have you found people that have been of senior training at Bemahig and just thought, oh, we'll go down and have it?
I think some of the younger lads have, haven't they?
Yeah, so especially there. Young lads, that have a kick around.
Because you're playing and all of a sudden these lads have come down and say, can we join in? And where's your money?
You're in.
So, we're now one of the richest clubs on the island. Carl tells us we're not, though. We've got the begging bowl out.
I remember your first couple of seasons you had the tremendous videos that Alessandro Marty Alex and they were great, and that must have been good for recruitment as well, because you were talking about before, Tony, social media and the viral thing, but they were growing
definitely they are. They do help, like and he does do a good job on the videos. He loves doing them. End of season do, he's got a load up there, like, so yeah.
Got to mention the mannequin challenge as well from last year. Marge the Dutch in the middle.
That was loving that, wasn't it?
It was good.
It was good. And then the pop song as well.
Oh, yeah.
You did the pop single video, didn't you, as well?
Yeah, I did. Staying up.
Did you never see that?
I think that rings a bell. You did the ice bucket challenge.
Did the ice bucket, and then we did this. It was Staying Another Day by Take That. It was E17, but it was E17 Governor's Nil. It was just like a parody of that video for Christmas, like end of season do. Like, but it was
fantastic
doing that.
Kind of ties in nicely with the next question, really.
Well, Johnny Hogg, obviously a famed official, has been in touch. He says, what was it like for Governors Athletic to go viral with me? He's, of course, talking about the ghost goal. We mentioned it last week, didn't we?
Well, we mentioned it
most weeks, actually. Yeah. The goal that never was. Were you playing in that match, Matty?
No, I wasn't, no.
It was a combi game against Malou, wasn't it?
It was,
Tim Collister, he will forever go down in podcast history as the man that scored the greatest goal that never was. Did the club get much publicity off the back of that? Because he went, it was all over the
That's all about him, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just an awful decision.
He's proud of it, I don't get it. He's really chuffed to bits with that. Yeah. Oh, worst decision in the Isle of Man refereeing history, and he's proud of it.
Oh. Well, someone said it's resurfaced in the last few weeks again, I think.
It was the anniversary of it.
They have an anniversary of it, do they?
Yeah, I think Johnny got a cake.
No, I think Johnny's got a plaque out of Clackvain. Just in that far corner.
But it was funny though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's just the reaction of the players that tells you to go. And you just as if as if the players aren't there. Ghost players, then why the ghost goal?
To be fair to him, he's taking it in the right spirit.
He is a good lad. He has the banter and that, doesn't he? Yeah. He's a good lad.
Well, he does say the free kick was a peach. He says, Matty, am I still invited on your stag weekend to Amsterdam?
No, and he never was. He keeps trying to hijack this. I was like, he's not coming.
Probably a wise decision.
Yeah. And then seeing his Facebook posts for Magaluf and stuff. Yeah. By, I think getting him to avoid Amsterdam's a good idea.
He's not coming.
And then he asks his perennial question, Dave.
Yeah, who's the best ref you've seen this season?
So both of you, Matoni, who's impressed you in the middle this year?
I'll be honest with you, there's been quite a few. There's not any that have had real shockingly poor games. I like Steve
Dowdle.
Steve Dowdle, yeah. I think his quality, he lets the games go, he lets tackles go in. He don't stand any messing about, and he lets the games go. I think he's really, really good whenever I've had him.
Matty, have you, anyone impressed you?
Yeah, they've all been all right, to be fair, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Actually, I don't even know any of their names. Yeah, like, apart from Johnny. Yeah. All for the wrong reasons. I think they've actually been fine, yeah. We've had no issues with any refs this year. It's been...
It's obviously a lot of them cut their teeth in Combi too, so you're probably getting them on as they're going up through the levels as well.
Yeah, you do get like some silly decisions here and there, but that's the way it is, isn't it? So it's Combi football, it's not the best, so you expect it, don't you?
I personally think that the players, the referees that are really firm and don't stand any nonsense, and Matty Evans and those kind of characters, you know, that know, they let the players know, I'm not standing any messing about from you. They're the ones that seem to control the games the best, I tend to find.
Good. I mean, you do see a lot of refs tend to speak to all the players just before the game, don't they? They sort of get them in a circle and just lay down the law, don't they? And that does seem to go both ways, the respect, then, I think. Andrew Payne, question for you, Tony. Favourite own goal of the season? There's been a few.
My question to Andrew Payne is, how can you have a favourite own goal? How can you enjoy an own goal?
Has there been any spectacular ones?
Do you think he's putting that out there for his one?
I think it is,
Was it D&D?
I think Michael, wasn't it?
Was it Michael, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, was that the other one, though? I think he's on three. I think he's our second highest scorer. I think he got one against D&D. We beat him 6-3, but I think he scored a peach of an own goal in that game. That's probably what he's on about. But there was one that... there was one where he was playing Douglas Royal down at Governor's there, and we were 2-0 up, believe it or not, against Douglas Royal. And then literally a couple of minutes before the whistle was about to go, two of our players, more or less on the line, were like passing it to each other on the line. It ended up in the net. And I just couldn't believe it. Just to watch the two players, who I won't name, just to watch them doing what they were doing. I thought, what are you doing? Just get rid of it. And they were like, it's as if none of them wanted to clear it. So they decided to keep passing it to each other on the line. And then one of them kicked it in the net. And that got it to 2-1 at half time, and that kind of killed us then. And they come out second half, Royals, and they slaughtered us. I think it was about 7-2 or something.
Hattie the Hitman, obviously our Division 2 correspondent, shall we say? He's an expert. Yeah. Matty says, will we be seeing the Molesworth handstand again in the foreseeable future? Apparently, was this your goal celebration against Foxtel?
It was, yeah. Have you seen it?
No, is it YouTube?
Spectacular.
Is it a YouTube sensation?
It is on there, yeah. Don't watch it though, it's fine. No, I've been advised by medical professionals.
For your safety or others.
Everyone's safety.
The groundsman weren't happy either.
There's some hole in that pitch.
He also asked, Matty, what's your most memorable match you've been involved with during your time at Governors?
The most memorable probably was, it wasn't even a win, it was our first point against D&D.
Right.
So I was playing in that one, and that was it, our first point on the board. But as a Combi point of view, this year's probably been, it was at home against Jims, and within the first 10 minutes we were 3-0 down, and then we went on to win it 5-3.
Wow.
So that was like I thought, getting there, we're going to have a decent season now, right at the start, and then... A week later, after the players weren't available, I was in net, game over.
And Tony, what's been your most memorable match maybe at Governors this season?
I think the most memorable is obviously is helping the club get that first victory. Which I mean, the atmosphere in the ground that day at Michael was superb.
Combi won as well, hadn't it? So we got back to the Archie. It was brilliant. It was really good.
So Atty was in the changing room taking the photos, everyone was buzzing, and the champagne, well, I think it was lemonade. Yeah. lemonade was out, and that was brilliant. But I think the best result for me was when we beat Rijkaard 4-2, because they're obviously a better quality of team than the teams down the bottom. So to have beaten one of the higher up teams was a little feather in the cap. And then we drew with Jim's as well, 1-1, which when you consider they only just come down, was another good result. I tend to look at those ones more, although, as I say, the first for the club to get their first game, everyone was chuffed to bits. And I was so pleased for Carl as well, because, as you know, he's got the club up and going, he's put a lot of effort, time, effort and money into it, and it was great for him on that day.
Yeah. Fantastic. And Hattie also asked you, Tony, what were the factors that made you go into football management?
I'm getting too slow to play now.
That's true.
Well, I just live for football. I love football, you know. Training Monday, Wednesday. I do the walking football now, which if you don't know, we've talked about that.
We did that.
I actually do that, which is better than people think. And then I do the Masters football as well. I just love football. And to come away from it when I can't play and not do anything, I just couldn't imagine it. So the next step up, obviously, is to do some managing. So the club asked me to manage a few seasons ago, which I did, and we did well, and I enjoyed it. Then I moved on to a bigger and better club in Royals, and I struggled there, to be honest, and I didn't get on with a lot of the lads, no secret. I only had 3 games there, but I had a brilliant record. I won 2-0 against Foxdale, I think. We knocked Moran out of the cup, 4-2, and they were in the Prem at the time. And then we happened to face our favourites who we've got this weekend, and they beat us 13-0. So that was me. That was me gone, 13-0. No, so basically, as I say, I struggled there, to be honest. I'm not brilliant at coaching, you know, I'm not that brilliant. You've got Gavin Gorn down there, who's a fantastic coach, and he does all the coaching. And when he wasn't there and I was trying to do it, I can't do it anywhere near the level he was at, you know. And I think the lads just thought I wasn't good enough at that level at that time, which is fair enough.
Yeah.
I accepted that, you know. And the chairman down there was superb with me. He was brilliant, you know. No problems, didn't interfere or anything. Same as Carl, just let me get on with it. I think it was just kind of player power, if you like. They're a strong bunch down there, as you probably know. People did advise me not to go there because they're a tight-knit group, you know. They've been there years and years. And obviously, I'm glad I did. It's a good experience, although I didn't do brilliant regards with the players. I think my results were okay. And I say I was there for, I think, 3 or 4 months, because it was during all that bad weather we had.
Yeah, the winter of discontent.
So that's kind of how I got into the managing side of it. You know, obviously I'm getting to the end of my career now, playing-wise, so that's the next step up.
We should talk about it. You're obviously a very passionate Birmingham fan.
Big
appointment this week in Harry Redknapp. What do you think about that?
Fantastic. What a person to bring in who can raise the morale of the club and get players in from all over the place, you know. Fantastic.
Oh, there's Nico Kankio signed,
Robbie Keane. They're all coming out the woodwork.
But he said 4 points, keep him safe. Do you agree with that? Or
I think 1 win will probably do it, because the teams down there, they'll win all their games. So I think 1 win. We'll beat the Villa Sunday.
I was going to say, big game.
We'll beat Villa Sunday, and that's job done, I reckon.
I think the whole country's rooting for it, because they want to see Harry in the end of the transfer window.
Everyone's glad he's back in football. But then we've got Huddersfield at home, who are pushing for the playoffs. That'll be tough. And then the last one's Bristol, who are fighting as well down the bottom. So we're all the Blues fans. Every end of season is fancy dress, all the fans going fancy dress, so they're all going to Western Supermare for the weekend and the game after that. But we'll be all right. The trouble with Zola, we had Zola in our team, as you know.
There's only 2 Zolas.
So Zola's done so bad at Birmingham, he's doing the heading, and we just needed to sack him. So, of course, whenever I'm doing the squads now, Zola keeps popping up in our squad, so Zola ain't been in our team for a while. It's just the name Zola right now on the team sheet reminds me of Zola, so I haven't been able to put him in.
A unique reason for a dropping, is it? I'd say so.
No, but he has, to be fair, he has been injured. He's And you was questioning why they call him Zola, and you've come up with all different reasons.
I know he told he accosted me in the courthouse a few months ago, and he told me the real reason, because he had it on his back of his first Chelsea shirt or something like that.
The reason he's told us is, have you seen him play?
Yeah, it was him.
Flicking the ball in from the corner.
I think it's fair. I've seen him play cricket, and he plays cricket like Gianfranco Zola. No, so. Right, before we look ahead to the weekend's games with the boys, Disco, you caught up with Brad manager Will Smith after the Swans Woods Cup success on Saturday, didn't you?
Yeah, he was obviously a very happy man. Described it as 40 years in the making. Only their second ever Woods Cup success. Obviously a lot of hard work had gone into it, but he paid tribute to Castletown as well. And yeah, he's looking forward to, well, hopefully sealing the promotion.
Right, we'll have a listen to what you had to say now.
Will, congratulations. How does it feel to have guided Brad into their second ever Woods Cup?
Fantastic, yeah. 40 years in the making, so it's well deserved. Thought it was a tough first half for us, but managed to turn around in the second half.
Well, much like the league meeting, I know we finished 11-1 in the league meeting, but Castletown took the lead again in this one, didn't you? But you dug deep and you got the equaliser pretty quickly, didn't you?
Yeah, they're a good side, but the lads have been working hard in the training on the fitness, so we're always confident if we're in the game after about an hour, we'll come through.
I think that was a general feeling at half-time. You know, once you guys got that equaliser and it stayed that way at half-time, the second half was going to be yours, and that seemed to be the case, didn't it?
Yeah, I think the whole game changed on the one. Great save from the keeper sticks.
Yeah.
And then we scored a minute later. I think that pretty much changed the game.
It did, and you know, come with the man, come with the hour. You've got Andy Glover, he could always pop up with a goal. I believe he broke a club record this week, is that right?
His own club record.
His own
that
club
was today.
Yeah.
54 goals, so he's levelled his own.
Fantastic.
But he beat the league record in the week. So.
And then obviously Stu Pace, he popped up with a good goal as well towards the end, which just sort of calmed the nerves a little bit.
Yeah, Stu's been brilliant for us. He's just a classy player.
Yeah.
I think the assist for Andy's as well. I think he was well deserved his man of the match. But to be honest, for me, I probably would have gone for Chris Crane myself.
Yeah.
I thought he was fantastic at centre back today. So.
Well, yeah, it was a different proposition because Alex Crawley was a live wire as he always is.
Yeah.
And he caused a lot of running, didn't he?
But yeah. I thought the two up front caused a bit of problems, but I think it probably left them short in other areas, which we exploited when they got a bit more tired.
Absolutely. And Meps alluded to it just before the celebrations began. Is this the first part of the jigsaw for you guys?
Well, we're hoping. But I say there's a lot of football to be played in the league. I think we've still got seven games, but for us, we've probably got a bigger cup final next Wednesday against Paul Rose away.
Yeah, tricky game.
Tricky game.
But I mean, obviously, you must be full of confidence after beating Royal last week as well, which, you know, they've already got promotion, so now you can overhaul them.
Yeah, I think we've been confident. You know, we've been favourites most games we've gone on to this season. So, really, that pressure of a cup final, they didn't really feel it because they've been favourites for most games this year. So, you know, they're confident in themselves.
And you see, Douglas Athletic obviously went up last year on the back of a Woods Cup win.
Yeah.
And they've consolidated themselves in the Premier League. Is that what you're aiming to do as well?
Yeah, I mean, the plan for the last 3 years has been to push on, and when we actually go up, to stay up. And that's more the style of football we play, you know. It's to have something sustainable, which is what we try to do for 3 years.
Fantastic. Well, congratulations to you and the rest of the team.
Thank you.
Right, welcome back, chaps. It's that time of the week where we look ahead to the weekend's games. There's flipping loads this week, isn't there?
Yeah, there's only one place to start, surely.
Yes. We'll start off in the Junior Cup and St George's versus Governors Athletic, mate. As you said, we touched on it before. You're going to go out there and just enjoy yourselves, aren't you?
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully, we'll by half time we'll still be in it.
Yeah.
And we'll go out and give it a good go. If we play well, we can give them a right good game.
I think Geordie's, it's fair to say, Dave, one of the dark horses for this competition. Maybe not even a dark horse anymore, one of the favourites.
Yeah, I mean, they've struggled with combi teams in recent years, haven't they? But this year, they've seemed to have sorted it out.
They've had a raft of youngsters join. I watched a bit of their game against Quintin's in the week, and it's full of. Full of young kids, so Matt, you could be in for a lot of running on Saturday.
Don't do running.
I wouldn't play a high offside trap, that would be my advice. I think, you know, with all due respect, we may be tipping a home win in this one, but
I think so, yeah. You never know, football, it's the beauty of it, isn't it?
Just down around the corner, Braddon versus Old Boys, the clash of the combination champions.
You've tipped this one to be a good game, haven't you?
Yeah, I think this Hattie's up going down there with his camcorder and sandwiches and whatever. Because it is the Combi 1 champions versus the Combi 2. We had a bit of stick on Twitter this morning, haven't I, Dave? Because I described Old Boys' performance against Peel in the previous round as lacklustre. Apparently, I was a bit harsh, because Peel have won the competition the last five times in a row. But my point was, there's only a few of the Peel lads in that current team that were in the champ final last year.
And you know, with Old Boys winning the league and finishing over 20 points ahead of Peel, you would expect them to win that, but. You know, it was a tough slog and it went to penalties, didn't it?
Yeah, John Ward becoming the hero again at the age of 50 plus or whatever he is now.
Yeah.
Brighton will be a tough game for Old Boys, though. Old Boys will be still favourites, but Brighton will give them a go, won't they?
Yeah, and well, you mentioned Adam McCulloch in your preview, I think, as leading goal scorer, and also Brighton are one of only, I think, three teams that have scored more than Old Boys Combi this season in all the leagues. So, you know, they'll be confident, having obviously just won the title, so you never know.
Matt, you faced Brighton this season. They're a pretty awesome force in that combi too, aren't they?
I hate playing them. I think they scored most of the goals against us, I think.
They do.
Good team. Definitely. in the combi league, they are the best team now, you see, for us anyway.
And they've got a lot of goal scorers. You know, Adam, but there's the likes of Jeff Murphy, and who else is in that combi? The Hutton brothers is one of them. He's in first team now, isn't he? But
There's good strength and depth in that squad. I mean, I think Old Boys will win this one. Yep. Brighton will push them hard.
Tony, what do you think? Brighton combi, have you seen much of their combi this year?
Not a lot, to be honest, obviously, because our games play when theirs play, but I know Brighton have got good players. As you say, Jeff Murphy's always going to get 15, 20 a season. He's a good player, isn't he? And they got the other tall lad, I can't remember his name.
Big Adam, I think.
He's a good player up front as well. So they've got some good strikers in there. They usually have good keepers as well, Brighton, I think.
Old Boys, as you say, will have to guard against complacency in that game. Jim's, St John's. Jim's, potential for a bit of an upset here, isn't it? Jim's combi 2, St John's combi 1. St John's haven't been in the greatest of form of late. I think they've only won one or two in the last six.
Yeah, well, we often describe Jim's as a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde side, but I think in combi football, St John's are a little bit. I mean, home advantage will definitely help Jim's, but I think St John's will just prove too strong.
Matty, what do you think, Matty? Jim's a bit of a force in that combi league or not?
Well, we've done the double over them this year.
Right.
5-3, 5-1. But, like I say, they can be a good side, I'll probably say St John's.
St John's, yeah. Down at Castletown, St Mary's Castletown is at the stadium. I think it's been switched from the bowl.
It has.
Another game, potentially, where the combi 2 team could get a bit of joy out of a combi 1 side.
I think so, but I mean, I don't really know what sort of team St Mary's going to put out in this one. I don't know if any of their first teams are eligible or not. I'm not sure, but Castletown have had a good season in both divisions, really. But I think this will probably be a step too far for them. I think St Mary's will.
Castletown young side, Matty, they seem to have improved leaps and bounds. A few seasons ago, they finished with one or two points, and now
they were the Whitton boys, weren't they? And then it was us.
Yeah.
And then it was Michael. So see what it is next year.
They've got some brilliant players, Castletown.
Yeah, definitely.
Good young lads. Is it McLaughlin?
He's
a hell of a good player. He's quite a big lad.
Yeah.
And you don't think he's that fast, but he's quite fast and he's strong and his shooting's
really good. He is.
And they've got quite a few good young lads, haven't they?
And they've all come through that combi, really.
Yeah. It's worth pointing out that Dan McLaughlin went off injured in the World Final, so I mean, but I don't even know if he'd be eligible.
No, I don't think he would, but it shows that there's the youth
setup is there. It's really good.
I think next season, their first division team and their combi team, I think they'll be really well up there. Really good makings they've got there.
We were talking about it before. We're talking about Division 2 games in a minute. But Castletown maybe a season early for them to go up if they sustain their pace as they, because they shot off like Greyhounds, didn't they? Near the top with Brighton, but they faltered a bit over the middle of the season.
I think it's just a lack of experience. Some of the young lads are real good players, but I think when they come up against big grown blokes, I think that's when they find they're going a bit tough.
Yeah.
But the quality's there, they're definitely good players. But I've always found with Castletown, you find that, and then for some reason, the next season or the season after, they tend to drift away from football. Not just from playing for Castletown, but they seem to be drifting away from football completely, which is a shame. But if they keep that setup they've got there now with the combi and the first team, they'll be hell of a team next year. I fancy him for Division 2 with who's going out of the league this year with Royals and Brighton.
They'll be off
there. I think they'll win the league next year.
Definitely a feel-good factor around the club.
They've done all the improvements on the stand and the clubhouse, so the setup is there. Laxey Onken, we're home winner this Laxey. Got to be one of the favourites for this. I think they're good on course to finish second, aren't they?
I think we are, yes. Yeah, they'll be hot favourites for this one. You never know though with Onken. They have a good start. I think the Cal Cup team did well in midweek, so I don't know if any of those players are going to be playing in this one as well.
I think Onken, obviously, Chris Ashbridge was their star man, as it were, scoring for fun, but he's now obviously on first team duty.
Yeah.
And he's probably, I don't know if he's eligible, but he was a big player for Onken Combi early on. Laxey, I've seen I've got some of the older heads back in, Johnny Palmer and Gary Williams. I call Gary older head, same age as me, but you know.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, they've got an experienced squad there, and as well as some good young players coming through.
Yeah, well, you touched on it with Castan, but Laxey obviously got a good youth set up there as well, and a lot of good players there, and they've had a few that have gone on to like Geordies and whatever this year. Again, I'm not quite sure, other than Johnny Palmer and people like that, I don't know who else will be playing this weekend. I don't know if they're still short.
Dazzle, the bearded wonder, Hazlitt might be...
He did a hat-trick a few weeks ago, didn't he?
He might be in the reckoning. Matthew Onken, you know, they started well, didn't they? And I think that was largely down to Chris, because he was scoring for fun at the start of the season.
Yeah, they did. When we played them, it's been a hard game both times. Mm. I think even at half, it was 4-4 after 25 minutes.
Wow.
And then we went and lost 9-4. Wow. Something like that.
But, 13 goal thriller.
Both games, they've given us a good game, like I said. They've got some good players down there.
So it'll be Laxey to favourites, but they'll have to make sure they do a professional job on that one. Colby Dulleson District. Colby should be favourites for this, being a league ahead, but you never know. You get to this part of the season, players drop off. D&D seems to have the same group most weeks, so could potentially...
The consistency there, you touched on it before with Geordies and teams like that. But yeah, D&D will... You know, I think Matheson and the boys were very confident the other week, weren't they? And they'll fancy their chances of pushing Colby, but home advantage... Colby, I think they'll win that one.
D&D, Matty, obviously you're one of your rivals in that division. They seem to have, as you say, a consistency in the squad that some of the other clubs don't have.
Yeah, they do, yeah. They have got a good setup there, like where they've got the same players playing all the time, which helps a lot.
Yeah.
We've struggled, like, it's so inconsistent with us this year, where we've played like teams up top of the league and got points off them. And then D&D done double over, they smashed us like 8-2-1 games. So it shows having the same players every week, it does help.
Makes a massive difference.
It does make a massive difference, yeah.
I noticed a young lad called Owen Stewart. He was a prolific goal scorer in the junior leagues. He's now playing at Dulleson District with his dad and his brother Luke. He's maybe one to watch. He's got a few goals. I think he must have only just turned 16 midway through the season. So, he may be one. Maybe if I had a pound and there was a Manx betting system, I'd have a pound on Owen to score on Saturday. Right, last penultimate game in the Junior Cup. Paul Rose Foxdale.
This would be a good one, this. So.
Looking for Matty's insight on this one. Which way would you see this one going? Because obviously both Combi 2 sides.
Yeah, depends what team Foxdale put out. I reckon Paul Rose are their hard team. Like.
Yeah.
But yeah, Foxdale can be good as well. Like we found them hard this year.
Both obviously can in the similar way to yourself take players away for the first team, so it will be depending on who's eligible, because you know that Junior Cup eligibility is becomes a bit of a contentious issue about Christmas when you're asking for players and you're like, actually you're gonna make him play, was it 11 games, it was 10 games, 10 games, yeah. Maybe you take him for 11th game and then rules him out of the Junior Cup. Well, can't be. But yeah, so this one could go either way, but maybe we're favouring Pulley at Springfield Road, Dave?
Yeah, well, I won't be surprised if this one went into extra time, to be honest. No. I'm going to tip this one to go all the way. But,
extra half hour.
I think so, but I think Pulley will edge it.
I'd never predict any Combi game to go to a draw.
Always high scoring, though.
Yeah.
We were talking about this the other week. It's very rare you get a nil-nil in Manx football,
exactly.
Is it?
No.
Defending is not the... I'm high on that. Most sides... capabilities. Rykov Russian, last game in the last 16. Russian should win this. They're a strong team in a combination.
Well, they're defending champions, aren't they?
Yeah.
They won the final last year 4-0 against Peel, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they'll be red hot favourites for this. You think it'll give them a good game, I think, if they've got a full strength side.
Depends
out,
what team.
Always,
yeah. Depends what team they get out, as always. So there's a couple of Division 2 games on the card for Saturday. Braddon, still in that. After that big win at the week in midweek, and they beat Pulley, and obviously Douglas Royal were beaten by Youthy.
Yes, so a huge week.
It could, yeah. So now Braddon are need, if they win all their games, they've got six left, haven't they?
They are six. They can actually afford to lose the game against Royal.
Yeah.
Royal have only got that one game left, and they're 10 points clear. But with the games in hand, if Bradford can win all bar one of those games, then they'll comfortably win the title.
Tony, they're visiting your old club, Maloo. They seem to have turned a bit of a corner since Christmas. Maloo, they picked up a bit of form.
Yeah, I think since they've dropped the combi, they've had more players to choose from, obviously, so they could pick the better ones from the combi to the first team a bit more. And I think Cal Alexander, who's the manager now, I think he's doing a good job down there. He's got them more solid, got them organised. And they're definitely, better than they were earlier on in the season because of having the extra combi players to help the strength of the team. So they're quite good. They're a bit unpredictable as well, I think. Yeah. They're a bit like us to a certain extent in D&D. One week we get hammered and then the next week they can put up a real good battle and fight and beat teams. But against the likes of Glover, you just wouldn't entertain him.
No, well he's up to about 50 goals, we think, for the league season.
He broke the Bradford's league record last week, and then Will said this to me, he equaled the club record for the season in the Woods Cup final, I think. So, he's absolutely
fine. And he's gunning for his brother's silver boot record, which is 62. So he's got about six games, two a game. He'll be looking for goals in this match, won't he?
Oh, definitely. If you don't get at it, you'll be surprised. He's had a few of them this year, haven't
they? Yeah.
I mean, his quality, I've managed him, as you know, and he is absolutely awesome. And his discipline's superb. Now, when I had him, he didn't give me an ounce of trouble. Everyone says, oh, Glover is hothead, blah, blah, blah. Where a lot of lads just go about where they're here, and when they met all the lads at Maloo, they love the lad, They just listen to rumours about, is this, that, and the other. But his discipline was me. I think he had a couple of bookings, he was never sent off. His quality and his maturity now, and he's got that part of his game now where he doesn't lose his discipline, he's on the pitch more, he don't miss so many games. And he's always going to get your goals in there. He's quality.
So what he mentioned, he was in when we had Bradon in way back at the start of the season, and he said this is his last season. What do you think about that? Do you think he should?
It will be. Obviously, I think there's no way he should ever back in. I'll keep going till I drop, because I love the game so much. But obviously, he's got family commitments, and he's putting his family before football, which is fair enough. Personally, I think he needs to get his house in order and sort his football out first. And send his family, but his Mrs. Chelsea's, sorting him out, and that's probably why he's more disciplined. But no, it'll be a big miss to Manx football without a shadow of a doubt. But I think what will happen, he will pack up because he said he will. But I think he'll be missing it. He'll be getting on his missus's nerves, and she'll say, "Go on, get back to football." So he'll be at Governor's halfway through the season.
Games anyway.
Last game in Division Two, only two, but Michael versus D&D. Tony, two teams around you. Michael have had a tough season, haven't they?
They have. Yeah, they've obviously struggled to get players. They had a lot of people that went to Foxdale, especially some of their more quality players, if you like. So, it has been difficult for them and for their combi as well, I believe. You can't see past D&D, really, can you, with Michael? I think the last couple of games, did they win the combi one again?
Combi won a couple, beat D&D in the week, 5-0, I think it was.
So I think they're getting possibly a few Masters players involved now, which is probably steadying the ship a little bit, which will help them. But D&D are a good side on their day if they've got their best team out. You've got a fancy D&D.
I should correct myself there. They actually beat D&D 4-3 last week, and they beat Jim's, I think.
Yeah, you don't want Matson tweeting in.
No, that's right. I was fearing. I could see him already. The fingers were over the pad, but no, I think they beat Jim's 5-0 in the week. So Michael's combi have had a bit of a resurgence at the end of the season. Hopefully some of those players will filter into that first team. Should be a good game. You just hope it isn't windy at Blair Road, because that can make a massive difference.
It's horrible up there, isn't it?
Right, before we look ahead to Sunday's hospital ties, here's a word from our sponsor.
I'm going to keep this short. It's 2017, make a smart decision. After picking up over 100,000 members, Cornerstone are now so confident that once men try their razor and shaving products, they won't go back to their old razor. So you can now get an award-winning razor from just £4 with £10 off. Just visit cornerstone.co.uk/Manx to get started.
Right, guys. Sunday's the last 16 of the Hospital Cup to look ahead to now. We've talked about it already. You've got the impossible task. It's mission impossible for St George's. For Governors this week, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm just hoping we can win.
Yeah.
A corner. Yeah, it is. It's obviously, we're not going to get anything about out of it, let's be honest. But well, as I say, all we can do is go out there and just do the best we can, keep the score down, park them buses, and just protect the goal as best we can.
I saw Hattie's tweet this week. It was a picture of a bus in front of a goal. Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen. No, I think if you look at some of our results, we can't park the bus. We just got to go out for the win, haven't we? Just outscored.
It's, as I say, it's inevitable what's going to happen. But as I say, we'll just go out and enjoy the day as best we can.
And elsewhere, Douglas Athletic, some travel to Jim's, Dave, a game you're going to, and a game Jim's, it's a sniff of an upset there, isn't it?
Yeah, I saw Jim's play a few weeks ago against Castletown in the Woods Cup semi-finals, and Jim's impressed me. They were unlucky they lost keeper James Brown to injury in the first few minutes.
Get well soon, James, if you're listening.
I feel good.
They still look at themselves well. I know they were on the wrong end of the scoreline, but... and we know they've got good players there, Jez Lovett, Nick Bowden, people like that, you know. So, you know, if they're on song, I think they could cause Athletic a few problems. But Athletic, they've had a great season in the Premier League. First season there, they've consolidated it, got survival. I think they'll qualify.
So, have you impressed how Athletic have coped in the Premier League? Especially when you consider they lost Connor and
That's it. When they lost the two strikers, you thought they're just going to be straight back down. They're going to be bottom of the league. They're going to struggle. But the guy's gone in there, sorry, I forget his name.
Brian Gartland,
yeah, he's done fantastic, getting them all together, solid. We played him in the Cup, we did well, we only lost 2-1, which, you know, we surprised ourselves that day. We did play well, to be fair. But yeah, they're a good, solid team. I can see them beating Jim's, to be honest. I think Jim's, we've played them, we drew with Jim's and we lost 3-2. But yeah, I wasn't over-impressed with Jim's, to be fair. I think Douglas Athletic will win that.
St John's Russian, Dave, all Premier League affair. St John's obviously announced this week that Rick Holden and John Holworth are taking over there next season. Robbie Prescott stepping down. This is, could go either way, but you're in a favour. It's going to be a tough task for them, isn't it, against a Russian side that are probably a bit between their teeth.
Yeah, I mentioned in the preview this could be a potential banana skin for Russian, but they will start as favourites in this one. St John's. Well, obviously, Robbie will want to leave on a high, won't he?
Yeah.
So, and on their day against the so-called bigger team, St John's have played well this year.
Especially at home, yeah.
Yeah. It's probably just a shame they couldn't get this under the footlights a bit later. But, I think Russian will win it, though. I think they'll probably go all the way, Russian to the final, and then obviously...
Bold prediction from Dave early does. Last 16, he's only saying Russian for the final, right? We'll see how that rings true later in the season. On come around, Tony. Two Division 2 teams. You went to the league fixture this one, didn't you?
Yeah, this has been switched to Crosby now. Yeah. Switched them around.
Oh, stock car season has started, hasn't it?
That's it. John Whitehead's in his element. Moran started well in this league fixture, but Onken came back strongly and won 5-2 in the end. And I wouldn't be surprised if the same happened again.
Onken.
They've had a great season, haven't they, Onken?
Yeah, they've got a quality goalie, and Stringer in goal. He's absolutely quality, and he's a proper keeper. And he's worth points on his own, isn't he? He keeps the goals out. And they've got good strikers as well.
Joe Rees, Chris Asprey. Yeah.
I think he got a hat-trick against us. He's really good, he is. So, yeah, you've got to go for Onken, I would say.
Marana, young side, another we've talked to such a few times. They're developing into a fairly decent unit, aren't they?
They're a good side, yes. Plenty of young players there. And, Dave Grew's got them playing really well. This one could go either way. I do fancy Onken to edge it, but Moran, you never know.
Yeah, never know. Right, Laxey Ayres returns to football after, how long did we work out? 9 weeks?
Yeah, 9 weeks.
Is it really?
They finished their season on time 9 weeks ago, got a bye in the first round of this, so they haven't played a game since 9 weeks. We, of course, touched on them earlier in the season. They finished on -1 points, conceded nearly 200 goals?
It's about that. And as you mentioned, this is pretty much more than a summer break for them.
If you start training first week in July and you finish at the end of this month, it's similar. So they've effectively had a summer's break.
Yeah.
it all points to Galaxy winning.
It does.
Especially with a few ex-air players in Galaxy ranks these days. Obviously, our biscuit king, Andy
Ball. Andy Ball, yeah. He's always on the ball.
And Christian Penswick and yeah. Jamie Callister, all obviously yeah. part of the air squad last season now.
No Sean Kelly, though, unfortunately.
No Sean, still in Japan, as far as we're aware, or the Far East, anyway. But yes, Galaxy win. Written all over it, hasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it has. You know, Galaxy, like the combi, they'll be looking to end the season on a high, and yeah, they should win this one quite comfortably, I think.
Union Mills, Peel. Mills, well, you know, they drew 3-3 last week with Colby, didn't they?
They did, but they played Peel only about 2-3 weeks ago, and Peel won 9-0, which sealed their relegation. So, yeah, I think a similar score. Although this is at Gary Moore, so I think Mills will put up a much better fight in this one.
I think, yeah, as you're right, Peel will be wanting to. They played very well first 45 minutes against St George's in the Cup, but they took the lead in extra time. It looked like, again, they were going to deny Geordies another swing at the Grand Slam. They'll be wanting to get to another Cup final and maybe finish the job off, won't they?
Absolutely, yeah. And they seem to have acquitted themselves well. Kez stepped up last week with 2 goals.
Kez was very good. He impressed me a lot. You know, he's rolling back the years. The Manx Fellaini, but he thought he played really well. And Billy Kenyon looks a top prospect. He came on, looked lively, and so did Will Morris as well. To be fair, who's obviously played a lot of combi football this year. Boys, what do you think? Peel win this?
I think it'll be closer than people think. I think Peel will get through it, but I think Mills will give him a good game. I think it'll only be 2-3-1 possibly. I think it'll be that close.
Mills got nothing to lose. It's the last game of the season. The league's all done and dusted. So.
But I went and watched Foxdale when they played Peel, and that was a close game.
Yeah, so great
same
game.
Same kind of level. Foxdale was superb that day.
Yeah.
Defensively, they were absolutely best defensive team performance I've seen probably all season from anybody. They were absolutely rock solid all across the back, the midfield. Worked as a team, they were fantastic that day, and they were unlucky not to get the draw at the end of the game, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
There was obviously only 93rd minute winner, but.
Yeah. Right, Colby, at the ground that game was, Colby are playing Old Boys. Now, Old Boys, they could do with a bit of a cup run, wouldn't they, just to kick on for next season? It's important that you finish the season on a high, isn't it?
Take something
through over the summer, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. As you say, pushes you on, you look forward to the next season then as well, yeah.
I think both Braddon and Royal have said that, actually, this season. They ended last year with a few wins, and it gave the momentum for them. So, Old Boys for this one for me, but... I think, did these play out a draw early in the season? I might be wrong with that.
Colby, Tony again, another team that have come up and acquitted themselves well.
Yeah, they've done well again. I thought there'd be a team that might have come straight back down and would be struggling, but they seem to have found goal scorers from somewhere. I don't know where. Are they players that have come back to the club?
I think they. You touched on it before about with Furby. They've shared it around. Jim Collette scored 32 or something like that last year.
Ashley Blake. It was Andy Blake. One of them. Jordan Primrose Smith has had a good season.
Yes, he's had a
I'll see his name regularly.
Obviously they've lost the mighty influential Ollie Swales midfield for the season.
He's retired now. He's got a runner, I believe now.
He is, in the 5K series, but big blow to the team. But I think this could be quite a close game. This, but I think Old Boys will go through.
Yeah, and the final of the last 16 ties sees Corinthians travel to Rykob. Corinthians should be firm favourites. They've had another team that's had a good season, haven't they? You know, the best ever league finish, semi-finals. They got into the Railway Cup. You know, they could do with another nice cup run just to finish it off.
Yeah, I think so.
Rykob last couple of games have played well. We went there and played them in midweek a couple of weeks ago, and they beat us 3-1.
Mm.
And they did look a real good, solid team. They played really well, didn't they?
They're one of those teams that, depending on what team they get out of,
they beat Royal in the week, so the confidence will be high.
So Corinthians will have to be on the
Would obviously fancy Corinthians, but I wouldn't say it's a given. As they beat Douglas Royal, they were no easy team, obviously. They beat them 3-1 just this week, so they've obviously got some good players in there.
I think Royal, as you've alluded to, our podcast have struggled with consistency and availability of players.
And they
seem very interchangeable between combi. If you look at the team sheets for the combi, you think that's a really strong combi team. And then I watched them get absolutely hammered by Paul Rose 11-1 a few weeks ago. And it was the impression I got it was a combi team they'd have to put out that week. They may be finishing with a flourish, which, as we said, will be good, bodes well for next season and a good summer.
There was one player who played for Roycob against us, and he scored again in the week against the Royals, and there's
Chris Robinson.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Former Ramsey striker,
No, was he? I've never seen or heard of him before, and he just stood out on the pitch, and player. I said to the manager, how come he's not playing regular, like? He said, oh, he's into his golf, apparently.
Yeah.
And he plays a lot of golf, but he looked a hell of a good player, confident on the ball, took his time, passing, shooting, really good.
He burst onto the scene as a youngster. I remember in that Ramsey team, and I think he helped them stave off relegation one season. So, as you say, he is a decent player. Mm. Right, guys, well, I suppose we're going to wrap up. Thanks for coming in.
Pleasure, thanks for asking us.
Good luck over the weekend. getting the abacuses out. I'm sure both sides will acquit themselves well.
We've just got to sort a goalie out, really, for both teams, haven't we?
I know, any goalies.
All season. If there's any goalkeepers out there. Obviously, it's too late for this season, but for next season. Because all season, we haven't had it. We've got one good goalkeeper who's Tucky.
Yeah.
Ian Tucky is a good keeper. Because of family commitments and things, he can't play regular. So,
is he playing Sunday?
He's staying at home. We're just going to have to wait and see. But
baptism of fire.
Matt has been known to go in goal. Chamber, not very well. Chamberlain has been in goal. He did well actually the one game.
Chamber was good.
Saved
goals,
a penalty as well.
Yeah.
So we've had four or five keepers, haven't we, between us.
That's our biggest weakness, isn't it?
Obviously, as a team, you've got to have a solid keeper. If you haven't got a solid keeper, you're in trouble straight away.
I have to say, goalkeepers are quite a rare commodity in man's football.
Yeah.
I was talking to a former Ireland goalkeeper, Grant Dawson, about this the other night, and I was saying Corinthians are probably one of the few clubs that you'd say have got two top goalkeepers, Adam Killiam and Glenn Walker. And neither of them could be your first choice, couldn't you?
Yeah, they're both excellent.
But it's a rarity that you get two really good goalkeepers at the club. And as you said, one.
It is.
We have got Ryan is our combi keeper, but he fell down the stairs at the bowl. his wrist.
At the bowl?
Yeah, he slipped down the stairs.
Oh, no.
So he's been out now.
They are famed for their unusual injuries, goalkeepers. I remember when Dave Besant dropped a bottle of salad cream on his foot and put him out for the season.
Still not as good as Kirk Broadfoot. And then Rangers defender Mike. Egg in the microwave exploded and
his
burnt
face.
His face.
Yeah, I remember that one. But then it was also, didn't one of them injure themselves ironing? Was it like Mark Schwartz or something like that? They're not blessed.
That's because he's a top. He's got to take his clothes off.
All right, guys, thanks for coming in. We're talking to Grant. We should wish well to him, ex St John's goalie Eric Lee, Jim Pesty, Dan Wood, and Mark Berman, who are all tackling the London Marathon on Sunday. You know, we said Frank Jones ran 7 odd miles on Sunday, but I don't fancy running 26, do you, Dave?
No chance, I can't even run one, so.
So good luck to all four of you, I hope you get around.
And the rest of the almost 30 plus.
About 30 Maxis are involved. It's hats off to you. It's something I would probably never do. Right, guys, remember you can tweet us day and night at ManxFootyBlog, where you can find all the podcasts at audioboom.com/channel/ManxFootball or on iTunes. Until next week.
Ta-ta for now.
Ta-ta.